Our 10-minute speaker is Rick M. from San Diego.
Boy, it looks a lot different sitting down facing this way, you guys. My name's Rick, and I'm an alcoholic. And I've not always been from San Diego, North County. I don't live there anymore because I always got in trouble there. Real bad. I want to say welcome to the newcomers, Larry and Allison. Is that right? No? My bad. I've got real bad hearing. And the guy from, I heard, New Mexico. Is that right? Welcome, man. Welcome, guys. And happy birthday, Nikki and Greg. That's awesome. That is a long time. Wow. You know, I just was talking outside. I had pulled up tonight in a, there's a parking spot from Gettle's reserve sign and all that. You know, the only prior to this, the only reserve parking I had was in an impound yard. You know what I mean? It's amazing. Really blessed to be here. You know what? I'm pretty grateful. I have some sobriety time, and it's been one day at a time. Every bit of it. And anything that's ever happened in my life since I've gotten sober is not because of me. I just had to show up. It's because I found a power greater than myself that's taking care of it for me. I really want to impress you with that tonight because I think it's really important. This is why I'm here. I'm going to try to transfer in such a short period of time what it used to be like, what happened, and what I am like today. And I'll just make it simple. Like I said, the impound yard was really, it's the truth. What it used to be like was I got myself trapped in a position where all I had to do was wake up in the morning and drink or use. It's part of my story. And that's all it became, was drinking and using. I couldn't hold a job down. I didn't have any friends. Sometimes I have a hard time impressing upon people the pain and the loneliness, the frustration, despair, lack of hope, lack of love, lack of anything in my life. Bleak, gray. The only way I can interpret that and express it to you is a cold gray cell. I faced a judge facing 25 to life on my fourth prison term. And when I drank hard and heavy. I drank to forget who I was. I drank because I didn't like who I was. I drank to become somebody else. I couldn't fit in. And I did that for a long period of time, 27, 28 years, something like that. And, you know, I knew there was a problem early on when I was a youngster. I was 5 years old. I lit the same canyon on fire 3 times one summer. I blamed the next-door neighbor all 3 times. The third time, the fire marshal, you know, came to the house. I don't know if anybody can relate to blaming somebody else for your woes. I remember the third time the fire marshal came to the house, and he came walking in and asked specifically what had happened again. I said, well, I saw the next-door neighbor, and the fire marshal had told me, you know what, we were just talking to the caretaker. They've been on vacation for a week. I was caught, you know. But this set off a pattern my whole life. I always lied. I always did what I wanted to do to get what I wanted for me. And it got to be really bad. Like I said, I was facing a judge, facing 25 to life. The three-strike law is a part of my story. And you know what? I'm certainly not that person anymore. What happened was I was, like I said, facing 25 to life, and a friend of mine who I'd known for a really long time. In fact, he had fired me twice from jobs and laid me off twice from 2 other ones. Had showed up in the courtroom, and literally there was no bail. It was 25 to life. I was going to spend the rest of my life behind bars. And he showed up every court appearance, visited me every single week, put money on my books so that I can get fed. You know, I weighed 138 pounds on that last arrest. I weigh like 193 right now. Sobriety's been really good to me. It has. Maybe too much, but the bottom line is this guy showed up every single week. He put money on the books. He talked to me. He told me he knew of a way out. And, you know, being where I was at, like I said, cold and gray like that cell, I felt that way until he expressed that with a tear in his eye that he knew a way out. And when I heard that, it kind of, something touched me right inside here. And And I think it was just enough hope. And I didn't know it then. I know it now, and I've known for some time now that he was 12-stepping me. He told me he knew of a way out. He knew if I get out of this little debacle that I was in, that he could show me a way out. And it happened. For whatever reason, I went back to my cell that night, and I got down on my knees, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I said, God, help me. Those three little words, God, help me. And something happened. I had a moment of clarity, and I didn't want to spend the rest of my life behind bars, because at that age, 38 years old, facing 25 to life is certainly not something I wish on anybody. You know, I was of the mind that I didn't want to continue. Suicide was I was contemplating that from that cell, thinking, I don't want to spend the rest of my life behind bars. I don't want to do that. And I think that can transfer some pain, a little loneliness, a little frustration. I was completely lost. I didn't know what to do. So I took this guy's advice and talked to him every single week. And for whatever reason, and to be honest, it's an act of God, I ended up doing 32 months at 80%. It translates to 25 months and 12 days. And I got to go to what they call a fire camp. And for somebody that was facing complete and to the end of his life, to see a little light at the end of that tunnel was something. It was amazing to me. And so I hung on to what he said, that he could help me. And when I got out, he said, you got one night on my couch. Tomorrow's the program downtown. But no. Shh. On my couch, one night, tomorrow program. And I understood what he's saying, so I shut up. Got fed really good, and I went to this program. Well, this program made it mandatory for me to show up at Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, a minimum of three a week. I ended up doing one every single day for my first 90 days. In fact, I did a little bit more than that. I only say that because this is where I found the answer. I heard somebody speaking up at the podium, and I've heard lots of bits and pieces of my story from this podium, just like this, in rooms all over the place. And what was expressed at the podium was my story and a way out also, and that was to take the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with the help of a sponsor who's taken those same steps. So I did just that. And what actually happened at the 11th step is exactly what our literature talks about, is I had a spiritual awakening. Something actually happened. And since that time, I've been able to help other men stay sober by taking them through the steps the same way I was taken through the steps, and that was through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Where's that thing, anyway? I'm used to seeing a book right up at the podium. It's that book that I went through with my sponsor. He used to go to that rehab and read it to me. He did that service work. He helped another human being, and I saw that. And I get the same ability to do that now. And essentially, that's what it was like, and that's what happened. And now, what it's like today is, recently I went to Wisconsin with a girlfriend of mine. You know, if you want to do some inventory and find out where you really do have some gross character defects, get yourself in a relationship. I've had to do a lot of writing because I do have some serious issues. I'm just letting you know that right now, okay? I'm an alcoholic. To prove it, here's a little example. I'm at the parents-in-law. Well, maybe. I'm at their house and they've got a plumbing issue. I like to call myself a plumber. I work for a plumbing company, and a little bit more about that later. They've got a problem with their little kitchen faucet, and I know what it is to repair. I know what to do, where to get it. And of course, I'm not in California. I'm in Wisconsin. I'm halfway across the states, and I go, okay, well, I'm just going to go get this. I take control of the situation. Sound familiar? Control. And I'm going to run around. I know where to go. I go right to the service places. I go right to where the plumbing outfits are at, and I ask them for this particular rubber grommet for this particular Moen faucet. I know what to get, and nobody has it. And I'm spending 4 or 5 hours all over the place looking for this thing, and it's failure. I get back to the house, and I tell them, the girlfriend's parents, I tell them, I couldn't find it. Sorry, I couldn't find it. And they said, oh, that's all right, but that's not what I heard. I heard, are you sure you're a plumber? I think people can relate to that. Funny thing is, it ended up getting taken care of. The idea that, I could take care of something and get myself involved, jumped head on without any thinking, has pretty much disappeared. I actually have a little bit of sanity. I have some sanity because I took the steps, and I have a power greater than myself that I talk to every single day. Every day I ask for direction. Every day. And I thank God every single day for my sobriety. I'm in the middle of my ninth year of sobriety. When I was younger, before I did my first prison term, in fact, about 4 months before my first prison term, you could do the math as to why. I'm a father. I'm a father of a beautiful girl. And when she was born, I gave her up at birth. Both her and her mother gave her up at birth for adoption. And I didn't see that child for another 5 years, and that was planned. After that, I didn't see her for another 8 years. And that was just by passing by. When she was 16, she sought me out and found me, and I went back in prison again. And like I said, I'm in my ninth year of sobriety, and you know, in January of 2008, I was able to sit across a table at the Benihana restaurant right here in Mission Valley and talk to this beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl and have her tell me, "I love you, Daddy." And I can't transfer in words except for how I feel right now, how important that was to me. I don't have the greatest relationship with that girl because I still think I'm Dad. And she lets me know that I'm not. Somebody else raised her, but I have a relationship. And that's through the power, like I'm talking about, this God that I'm talking about, that I got by taking the steps. This week at work, there's so many things that have happened in sobriety that I want to share that I don't have enough time to share. And I want to make it clear that the little things, like somebody gave me a car in sobriety. I have a job. The bills are paid. I have a car that I can park in a parking spot that's reserved for me. You know? This is not normal for me. I should be locked up. I should be dead. You know? I've seen plenty of people die this year alone, friends, close friends of mine, because of this disease. This God I'm talking about, because I've shown up and put myself in a position, just shown up. He's given me everything, and I'm not taking credit for anything. And I ask anybody, if you're new, especially if you're new, if you're having problems with that or you don't understand anything I'm saying, come talk to me after the meeting. I'd love to help. Thanks for letting me be of service. Thank you.